Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You, Big Book Study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, September 11th, 2024. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 45, the third paragraph. Today's readers are Addie V. on the 12 Steps, Nancy D.M. will read the traditions for us. Shelley E. is our reader of the text. Liz A. will read our closing, and Yvonne A. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Diane B., and announcements will be shared by Betsy H. The reference numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting, Tuesday, September 10th, is 21,730. That's 21730. And this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,736. 21736. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Addie V. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Addie V. from Maui, Hawaii, and these are the 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, but our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Addie V. from Hawaii. And I will now ask Nancy D.M. to read our 12 traditions of Eaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Nancy D.M., compulsive eater and anorexic. 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy DM. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop on and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 45, paragraph 3. I will now ask Shelley E. to begin reading for us.
Ah, thanks. Good morning. Good morning, my fellow. The Big Book, page 45. I'm Shelley E. I'm so sorry. A recovered compulsive overeater in Petoskey, Michigan. The Big Book, page 45. Some of us have been violently anti-religious. To others, the word God brought up a particular idea of Him with which some had tried a particular... Sorry, I have a terrible migraine. Had tried to impress them during childhood. Perhaps we rejected this particular conception because it seemed inadequate. With that rejection, we imagined we had abandoned the God idea entirely. We were bothered with the thought that faith and dependence upon a power beyond ourselves was somewhat weak and even cowardly. We looked upon this world of warring individuals, warring theological, inexplicable calamity with deep skepticism. We looked askance at many individuals who claimed to be godly. How could a supreme being have anything to do with it all? And who could comprehend a supreme being anyhow? Yet, in other moments, we found ourselves thinking, when enchanted by a starlit night, who then made all this? There was a feeling of awe and wonder, but it was fleeting and soon lost. Yes, I apologize. I do have a terrible migraine today, but I am really feel blessed to be able to read. Let's see. When I look at the paragraph right away, I have some notes. And the number one note I have is prejudice is circled, and it says preconceived ideas of God. I guess that's just to tell me what they're meaning here. I know for myself, when I read this with my sponsor, I was just starting to think, maybe I do have pockets of agnosticism, because I was quite certain that my faith was strong, and that I was on the quote-unquote right path with God. But come to find out, there were certain pockets in my life that I was giving to a higher power, God, supreme being, whatever you want to call it, and other pockets I was holding to myself. So at some point in my day, I was allowing God to drive, and I was a passenger, and other times I was grabbing the wheel, but didn't realize it. Having experienced a child with cancer as a young mother, I realized very early how much control I had in life. And, it was basically none. And even though that as a result of that turned out beneficial for my child, and it's actually one of the best things that ever happened to me in my life, at the time, it was a horrible thing to go through. It did change my faith, and it did make it so that I could see that I was not in control. But after that, I think I forgot. I think I moved forward, and then I forgot to allow God to do his work. I stepped in front of him on many occasions, and in particular with my food. So I was going to say for the newcomer, don't be afraid when you see the word supreme being. Don't be afraid at this point. Shut the book and say, hey, this isn't for me. We all, as many stars as there are in the sky, there are that many higher powers for different people. So sit down, calm down. It's okay. You will find your spot here. You will find your higher power. In order to go forward, we're asking right now. They're asking us right now just to be willing to believe in a power. Doesn't have to be God. Doesn't have to be what my God is. They're just asking us now to believe in a higher power or a power greater than ourselves. And like it says, a feeling of awe and wonder when enchanted by a starlit night. Anyways, thank you for letting me ramble on. I apologize. As I said before, I do have trouble with migraines. I'm sure none of it's made any sense, but I wish you all a wonderful day. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Shelley E. I'm sorry, not feeling well. Thank you for your service. I'll now take a list of names of people who would like to share on what we read today. But before I do, I'll remind you that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who would like to share?
Alex Diane.
A. Alex A.
Diane B.
Diane B.
Dana M.
Anna M.
Dina A.
Dina A?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else? Page 45, last paragraph. We know how he feels. Okay,
Liz,
we'll go with
Linda G.
Linda G. Okay, let's go with that group. I have Alex K, Diane B, Anna M, Dina A, Liz A, and Linda G. And please let us know what state you're calling from so that we can find you on our member list if we want to. Go ahead, Alex.
Thank you, Jody. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Alex K in California, compulsive eater, given a reprieve for today. I was so extremely anti-religion when I first came to program. I was a vehement atheist, I would say. I didn't want to hear about God or anything else I saw as related. I actually cringed when I heard the word God when people were talking about God in meetings. I was so closed-minded and judgmental. And I actually considered crossing out the word God everywhere it appeared in my big book. But I didn't. I think that was my higher power, and I kept coming back. That was my higher power. And very slowly and gradually, my mind began to open up to the idea of the possibility of a power greater than myself. And I learned that it could be different for each person, that we each find the higher power that works for us. And ones might be completely different than another's, and no one was telling me I had to believe in a certain God or in a certain way, just that I needed a power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity, and sanity was actually what I was seeking. I was tired of that vicious cycle of being stuck in the compulsive eating and trying to stop and not being able to and being depressed and desperate, and I knew I needed help, and I couldn't solve my compulsive eating problem. And today I have a strong connection with my loving, compassionate higher power, and it's the most important thing in my life. My higher power is always with me. It's so comforting, loves me unconditionally no matter what, and helps me with everything, and takes good care of me, and has removed my food obsession and compulsion. So miraculous. I sure didn't come to the program for a relationship with a higher power, but I'm so grateful that for this miraculous gift. There's nothing like it. It makes all the difference. Thanks so much. Pass.
Thank you so much, Alex K. from California. Diane B., go ahead.
Good morning. This is Diane B. in New York, gratefully recovered compulsive eater. Thank you, everyone. So I also came into the rooms not believing in God. In fact, a friend of mine showed me the steps in 1984, and I read on a pamphlet, and I read down, and the first time I got to the word God, I said, nope, this isn't for me, and I handed it right back to him. Well, 2 years later, I found myself in the rooms, and just remember saying to me, just act as if, you know, act as if there's something out there. I was not particularly religious, although I was definitely
Diane, I can't hear you. Did we lose Diane?
Yes, we lost her.
Well, maybe we'll come back to Diane. Maybe she needs to call back in. Let's go with Anna M., please, Anna.
Hi, my name is Anna M. I'm calling from New Haven, Connecticut, and I'm very grateful to be on the line. I am starting a new job on Monday and was doing some online orientation. I had time to step out and get on the call, but the idea of God, what I heard so far, I didn't hear the reading. I know it's page 45, but what rings true for me in this, what I heard so far is that trusting and relying on God for me is my first priority with everything. I mean, of course, you know, you have to have abstinence, at least, you know, for me, and work in a program and being recovered, doing the steps on a daily basis, so step 10. But the bigger picture for me, even more than that, is always having God as my, like, right-hand man or woman or whatever you want to call it. I can't, you know, trusting and relying on humans or myself is always like a letdown. And when I look to God in all things big and small, things seem to just work out beautifully without any interventions from me. It's orchestrated so well. And I'll give you a fast, quick example. Earlier in the year, I had a terrible situation. I lost a job unexpectedly. It was a new job, and it was a very high-paying job, and it just wasn't the right fit, bottom line. Fast forward, then I got hurt a couple of weeks later. I fell in the yard and fractured my wrist, and I was messed up for 4 months. I had to have an emergency operation. Anyway, God took care of all of it. God made sure my finances were okay, my bills were paid, I had my medical insurance, I had the right doctor, the right surgeon, the right therapist. Now, 6 months later, it's like nothing happened. I mean, I have a scar, and it aches once in a while, but I really wasn't sure if I was going to have use of my dominant arm after that. Like, you know, and it was scary. Now I'm starting a new job next week. It seems this could be the right fit. Who knows? But the more I just keep on doing the next right thing and leaving the results to God, the better off I am. And I mean with everything, not just certain things. And practicing these principles in all my affairs, that's the other thing too. Working these steps for me, I have to work these steps in every area of my life. It's not just with the food or with my family or in my job. It's everywhere. It's driving on the road. Right now I'm on I-95 northbound, tractor trailers everywhere, and we're slow and idle traffic. And being kind and compassionate with these people because they're providing us services. And that's a big deal for me because I used to MF all the truckers on the road before. But anyway, I appreciate everyone on the line. I appreciate your service, and thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you so much, Anna M. from Connecticut. Diane B., are you back? Diane B. from New York?
I am. I'm so sorry about that. My apologies.
That's okay.
My phone dropped the call. In any case, I don't even know where I was at. All I know is that I did not believe in God or higher power or anything when I walked into the rooms. I started believing that there were no coincidences, only God working anonymously. And that has helped me, that has helped me all through these years. Like, you know, faith and dependence upon a power for me seemed like something of a weak person needs that kind of thing. But I found out that that's not true, that the power comes from the higher power, and that's what makes us powerful and have more control, maybe, I don't know, but able to live with this disease in a healthy way. So with that, I will pass. And again, my apologies.
Thank you, Diane B. from New York. And let's see, who's next on our list? It is Dina A. Please go ahead, Dina.
Hi, good morning. Dina A. from New Jersey, gratefully recovered. So I'm just always happy when I'm on the meeting live and I can share, even though inside of me is like, don't even call live because I don't want to share. But today I'm listening to my higher power and doing as he directs me. So I like this line, faith and dependence upon a power beyond ourselves was somewhat weak, like we thought that. I didn't think that. I came in thinking that I have a God of my understanding that I've had since childhood, whom I loved, whom I believed loved me, and I thought I can skip this paragraph, I could skip this chapter, and I went through a program for a lot of years thinking that there was a relapse in that story, not surprisingly, and then this time around, a little more than a year ago, when I was working with a vision sponsor, we got to this part. And I was going to explain to her why I don't almost need this chapter. She said, well, this God that you have, that you believe in, is this the God that you live with every day? This God that can do everything and is taking care of you, because so much of my behaviors, my reactions, my emotions were not in line with the fact that I have a higher power working for me. It was more in line with the sentence that believing in a higher power, depending, not believing in a higher power, dependent upon a power beyond myself, was somewhat weak. And that is me every day when I'm not recovered, dependence upon a power. Like me, I should depend on the higher power. That was never my mode. My mode was, I have to figure it out. And I was so hard on myself with so much self-blame and so much pressure on myself that the delusion that somehow I can wrest happiness and satisfaction out of this world, if only I manage well, I have to just figure it out. There's some piece that I'm not getting, some memo that I misplaced. That if I only figure this out, my children will be okay. They'll turn out okay. This will turn out okay. My job, myself, my self-image, name, anything in the world, it was up to me to figure it out, and all the pressure was on me, because if I didn't figure it out, it was going to be my fault. So slowly, slowly, I'm learning that dependence upon a power beyond myself is not weak. It's actual sanity, and it makes much more sense because I don't really have any power. Even so much as a little example of my daughter not liking her school shoes this morning and having a meltdown. And she's 10, so I don't really have to wait at the bus stop with her because there are other kids there, but I've always done it her whole life. And she was in a tiff, and she said, so you don't have to wait with me, see, but just go back. I'm like, okay, then, have a great day. I love you. And I just went back, and part of me is like, I maybe did this wrong. I'm second-guessing. Maybe I should get her new shoes, even though I spent money on these shoes. And then I'm like, okay, 1 second, higher power. I'm going to give this to you. I'm feeling confused. I'm feeling mixed up. I'm feeling hurt. I'm feeling afraid. And I am going to repent. Thank you so much. I'm going to pass.
And thank you so much, Dina A. from New Jersey. Liz A., please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Liz A. from California. Recovered. One day at a time, thank God. Let's see. I guess, you know, I did have a God that I grew up with. The part of the God that was attached to religion, I just didn't want to deal with because it just made no sense to me. There were like 613 commandments and had to do, you know, some of them had to do with sacrificing calves, etc. It just seemed ridiculous. Also, it seemed misogynistic to me. So I kind of had abandoned the religious God. But I had some kind of belief in a God. You know, when I was in trouble, I would pray to this God. I had a spiritual experience when I got sober in the beverage program, and that was incredible, and it was really unbelievable. And for 30 some odd years, I was basically, you know, living in a pink cloud for most of the time. I had horrible things happen in terms of life. But, you know, in terms of my belief in God, it was, you know, I didn't have to do very much. I just believed that there was this God. And then this disease brought me to my knees. And I had to really look at what my belief in God was. And thank God that, that's funny, thank God. Anyway, thank goodness that there was always deep down within me the fundamental idea of God. And I was so surrendered with this disease that I decided to resign from the debating society and stop asking, is there a God, isn't a God? And instead, I decided that I was going to try and seek God. I had no idea how to seek God. Do I just sit there and meditate and let something come to me? What do I do? And I heard a fellow share that God is through work and self-sacrifice. What? Self-sacrifice? I was the most selfish person. It was very difficult for me to sacrifice. But I had no other choice. I was out of ideas.
No other choice.
So I had to believe in a power greater than myself. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Liz A. from California. Linda G., it's your turn.
Thank you. I'm Linda G. from Mobile, Alabama, a compulsive eater, overeater, and an anorexic and a restrictor. I came to program in the 80s, and I thought, I came for the vanity, and got major strokes for losing weight. And I had a need to be extraordinary in all things, and that just fed my need. I stayed for a couple of years and dropped out when my then husband made fun of me for my prayer and meditation and my meetings and my phone calls, and lost my way. It became all about roller coastering with diet pills and gaining weight and losing weight and how I looked. And I got trapped between the compulsive overeating and the dieting, and I got really stuck. Over the years, I lost sight of my higher power completely, and it became all about control. A couple of months ago, I got a steroid shot for my knees, and it made me binge for 3 days, and that brought me to my knees in screaming back to OA. And I am so grateful for that shot, because now it's all about spirituality for me. I have a surgery coming up on Friday, and I have also gone to a nutritionist who has begun to restore weight to me according to my doctor's wishes, and the two have really brought me to a state of mind where I need my higher power immensely, and I constantly have to remind myself to stay out of his way and to let him take control and let him do the masterminding of my life, because with the restoring weight, my anorexia is really kicking me in the butt, and I am really fighting to remember that this is about my health and my life. And as someone who called me once said to me, a feeling can't kill you, but an eating disorder. And embrace the feeling and thank God for it, because it's teaching you and you need to learn these lessons. And I was very grateful for that phone call, because I am learning, and I'm learning that this is not about my vanity. This is about my life. And OA is teaching me so much, and I'm learning so much from these meetings. These vision meetings are wonderful. Listening to everybody share, thank you. Listening to everybody share is teaching me to get out of my higher power's way, to let go of controlling what my life is supposed to be about and leaving it up to my higher power to do that for me, and to let my will be his will for me. And that's a big step. Thank you very much for letting me share, and thank you to everyone who is sharing and listening, because you're wonderful friends and you're teaching me so much. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Linda G. from Alabama. Who else would like to share? We're on page 45, the third paragraph, the last paragraph on the page.
Wendy B. in Arizona.
Wendy B., Arizona.
Kat C., Ohio.
Kat C., Ohio.
Marilyn W., Colorado.
I heard Marilee and someone from Colorado. Marilee, where are you? Is it Marilee?
Yes, Marilee, and I'm from Colorado.
Colorado, okay. And I heard someone else.
Cheryl F. Cheryl F. is the other one.
Okay. Okay. Sure. Okay, let's go with those four. Wendy B., Arizona, Kat C., Marilee, and Cheryl S. Please go ahead, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And the line where it says, we have shared his honest doubts and prejudice, just reminds me, you know, that I had doubts that God would provide for my needs. You know, I would see my circumstances as not going the way I want, you know, the way I think they should, you know, for my best interest. And I would doubt that God was really in control, you know, that he really cared about me and my issues. And, you know, I was just so focused on external things and circumstances and other people, you know, to bring me happiness and peace, that I had to learn to take my eyes off the external things and go within, you know, shedding out the world, you know, to truly connect with God and find peace and to feel calm. And now when I, you know, can stay in that place of inner connection and trust, you know, I can let the doubts, you know, float by, you know, and not claim them. You know, I can choose to stay safe and protected in a place of relying and trust. And, you know, the line about seeing people who need God as somewhat weak and needing a crutch, you know, is actually my truth today. You know, I've come to realize, you know, I am weak and broken. You know, I need a crutch to assist me in my human condition. And, you know, I'm just very aware of my limitation and my need for God. And that's a wonderful place to be. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. from Arizona. And next we have Kat C. from Ohio.
Hi, this is Kat C., compulsive overeater. Glad to be here. I'm glad to be of service. So when I first come into OA, I heard people talking about the big book, and I'm like, because I grew up being taught about God, you know, about Jesus. And so I, you know, I'm like, the big book, the only big book I know is the Bible. So I don't know if I want to do any of this. I don't know, you know, I don't know. And I kind of felt the same way when I read this, or, you know, saw the chapter, We Agnostics. And I'm like, but I believe in the Lord, so I don't know. But here's what I do know. I do know that we know how he feels. Like that sentence, we have shared his honest doubt and prejudice. I know that we all share common ground, and the God of our understanding, you know, didn't free us from this until we completely surrendered to it. What I did figure out is that I thought that I was, you know, surrendering to God. I thought that I was doing the right things, and I had this under control, this eating. And but what I found out is that if I was 100% honest, the God that I was serving was myself and my stomach. He pointed that out to me. The God that I was serving was my stomach, and that was getting me nowhere. I didn't have control. I didn't at all. And until I fully surrendered, I was going to get nowhere. And once I did surrender my life and my will over to the care of God, to my higher power that could restore me to sanity, that's when the miracles started happening. That's when my heart started being changed. That's when everything started to go a different direction, and not until then, because the God I was serving was not restoring me to sanity. He's the only one that can. So I don't know. I just I love being in this meeting. I love being in these rooms, hearing everybody's story about where they came from, because honestly, we're all on the same playing field. We're all human, and we all stumble and fall and not. So and we all need help, and we all need a higher power to restore us to sanity. So yes, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And now it's Mara Lee. And Mara Lee, what is the initial of your last name?
W.
Go ahead, Mara Lee.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. I'm Mara Lee W. I live in the state of Colorado. And when I first read this chapter, I really was confused. I did not understand a lot of the wording. It was way beyond my, you know, I didn't graduate from high school, and it was way beyond my intellectual capacity. I was very mad at the God idea. I hated God. I did not understand really the word. I thought I did. But what I understood was that I had been praying for a long time within fellowship for the obsession to be removed. And I kept driving back to wherever I would get my food, the grocery store, over and over, like 3 to 4 times a day sometimes, and stocking up on food. And there was a lot of consequences around my disease. I mean, this is not the only fellowship I'm in, but there was just a lot of consequences in general. And I didn't understand that if there was a God, why this was happening to me in my life, and why I kept praying, and that those prayers seemed to not be getting through, or, you know, there wasn't. So I really believed that God had abandoned me. And I love, now I love this this chapter very much. I think it's one of the deepest spiritual literatures I've ever read. And just looking at this page above this paragraph, it says, I think, one of the most important statements in the big book, and there's a lot of them, but it says, lack of power, that was our dilemma. And it talks about we had to find a power, but that's exactly what this book is about. And it talks about precise directions, and that's also something I didn't want to hear. I was like, there's a book, and there's precise directions? Like, I'm out of here. This is not okay. But I was beaten time and time again by the food, by not only overeating, but restricting, and the internal place of pain within inside of myself that never left. And so that place made me willing within step one of not being able to control the food and or my restricting, or to choose when this was happening, like to really understand that my unmanageability around this disease, first and foremost for me, it was the unmanageability that the thought returns, I will swear I'm not going to do this anymore. And the thought will return that somehow, someday, at this time, it'll be different. I'll be able to control it this time, or there's no thought process at all. And when I truly got that peace in my heart, that no matter what I did on my own being, that I wasn't going to be able to get out of the box of this disease. I was totally hopeless and screwed within this disease. I became willing to just believe that there was a power greater than myself. And that's
a reminder.
All I needed to make a beginning. Today what I see is the words rejected and ignored. So where am I rejecting and ignoring my higher power or God or the spirit of the universe? That's all I have.
Thank you so much, Marilee W. from Colorado. Cheryl S., please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. This is Cheryl S. from Nevada, and I am a recovered food alcoholic. And I say that because the disease that I suffer from is alcoholism. And it's called alcoholism just because this started with Dr. Bob and Bill W., and they were alcoholics. I think it could be called spiritual sickness. And the reason that I say I'm alcoholic instead of a compulsive overeater is because the food is just a symptom for me. And I know that because while I was spiritually sick, while I was still suffering from this disease, I had other substances that I used the same way that I use food. But the underlying spiritual sickness didn't go away until I was able to do these steps and to do them multiple times because and I will continue to do them throughout the rest of my life because each time I do them, this gets deeper and deeper and deeper in me. And so the first 43 pages, including the Roman numeral chapters, are all about step one and bringing me to and through step one. And that is to admit, to believe in every fiber of my being that I am powerless. I have no power. And without any power, I can't manage anything. And now here I am on page 45, and it's about to tell me how to get some power. Well, if I believe that I am truly, truly powerless, that I'm up the creek without a paddle, that I'm overboard in the ocean, and somebody's going to throw me a lifeline, a life jacket, a paddle, I'm not going to say to them, I don't really like that paddle. That life jacket, purple is my favorite color. I'd rather have purple. If I believe in every fiber of my being that I have no power, I'm going to grasp whatever power is out there. And this is telling me about God, that God is the power that I need. And I can call it anything I want. I can make it anything I want. It just has to be greater than me. And I have to be willing. And I look at this and I think, so what if it doesn't work? Then I haven't lost anything. I'm no worse off. I'm still up a creek. I'm still all by myself out in the ocean. I'm still powerless. And my life is still unmanageable. So what is the harm in trying it? And they make it so easy that I just don't let, if you have trouble with this part right here, maybe go back and look and see if you really believe you're powerless. That's all I have. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S. We are out of time for sharing. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book from page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Liz A. please read our closing, A Vision for You?
Liz A., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.